Morning. Welcome. Are there any prayer requests? Any other announcements? I didn't have any. The order of service today. Oh, Dad, did you have something?
I had one, an update on the 40 days of prayer that was instituted by the Alliance Church. It started on the 20th of February. And through the Ministerial Association, the game plan of it was to unify the churches in Selvin in this 40 days of prayer leading up to the Saturday following Good Friday. If you want more information on it, I've got some pamphlets at the back you can pick up and take home. It has the prayer points and the different panels to pray about. If you've been to the mayor's prayer breakfast, it's on that same format where they would like people to pray for the areas in Sylvan Lake regarding urgent care, the youth, families, the persecuted church. There's a whole list of them. It's totally anonymous. You can pray when you like, but the idea is that when you do pray, that you pray once a day for the 40 days leading up to the end of this. And so more information is at the back. It's also on our website.
Okay, thank you. Dad will read the psalm and Cal will do the prayer. And we have a sermon from Steve today from Florida, so that'll be the sermon today. Are there any other announcements? We'll start with 82.
Our psalm reading today is Psalm 22 from verse 23 to the end. And reading through this psalm and how it fits with what we talked about in Sunday school this morning about the patience of God and his sovereignty, you would think that the psalmist was listening in on our Sunday school this morning. And he wrote this many years ago, and God's sovereignty applied then, and it applies now. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye that seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from them, but when he cried unto them, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in great congregation. I will pay my vows before him that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among all nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Amen. Let's continue with 86.
Morning. God's peace. Let's start our service with a prayer. And even though our speaker is not here, that when I was asked to pray this week, I've tried to pray for this sermon that's been prepared. And we know that Steve would have asked for prayers for it as well. Father, we just come to acknowledge you this morning, to praise you, as the psalmist has indicated that in prophetically that even though that the lion may have us in his grasp, that we know that you are our deliverer, that you have provided the means and the way for salvation, and even though that those of us that we look at the cross and despise it, that as the songwriter said, that you have sent your son here for us to be a symbol of suffering and shame. And Father, as the psalmist has also said, you know, we lift up a song unto you that has he's indicated to be unto the rock of our salvation, to make a joyful noise unto you with psalms. For you are a great king and a great king above all gods. And Father, we know that creation is yours. You have formed the deep places of the earth. You have the high places and the low places are yours. The sea is you created and all things therein. And that we know that you are our God. And we are the people in your pasture, the sheep in your hand. And may our hearts never be so hardened as in the provocation that we forget this, that though it's so natural for us as it was for Abraham when he was not yet renamed by you to question you and say, you want me to do what? You're going to do what through us, through me? That we know that you can, you will. And it is through your covenant with us that you know that as with that covenant with Abraham, that you would provide a seed. You would provide this means of salvation. You would pay for our sin debt. And that we just need believe that is through your son that life begins, that life never ends, true life, everlasting life. Father, we think also this morning and lift our supplications and prayers unto you for those who certainly questioning the season that they may be in, the hurts, the pains, the discomfort, the anxiety that comes with that, the unknowing. And we can only ask, Father, what we don't know unto you, and we know that you do know, and that we wouldn't ask why, but we would leave it with you and ask for peace, that we can live this hour, this day that you've given us today with that you've set before us, because we know that what is set before us is never-ending glory, never a season that will not turn, a season of joy and peace and gladness. Father, again, we thank you and are grateful for the gift that you've given those in your kingdom to spread your word, to share your gospel, this good news of salvation, that there is life, that there is victory over death. We have attained it through your son. That we can be grateful also that to even come to that thought that you have first prayed for us, as the songwriter has said, and we ask that prayer. As feeble as this prayer is, we know that nothing is attainable without the prayer of our Savior, that don't stop praying for us. We need that prayer. We need the prayers of all your saints for our community, that is through you that that your kingdom will thrive. And may we also honor that prayer that your son has attempted to taught us or teach us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we continue with 378?
Good morning to all of you, and I pray that this morning as we get together this way, that you are living in the constant flow of God's grace, the grace that He so richly gives us every day and wants to give us more of and cover us with at all times. And I pray that your hearts are at peace as we come together, and that you are truly filled with hope for the future, joy for the present, and a great peace in your heart for all that is surrounding you and surrounding me. I'd like to talk about this morning some of the things that concern our walk as we journey through life. And I should say that everything that we will discuss is predicated on the verse from Romans 5, the first two or three verses, that says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It is impossible to talk to anyone about the power of walking by the Spirit or with the fruit of the Spirit or building upon faith if they do not have faith. It's all foreign, completely, and meaningless, because the Spirit of God does not work that way. And so therefore, the most important thing, first of all, is that we are justified before God and at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul says there to the Romans, we are justified by faith and at peace. And then he goes on from there. I'd like to talk about 2 Peter, the first chapter, and we'll read that for a text concerning the building blocks that go on top of faith. But also the familiar place in Galatians 5 that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Paul and Peter did not always get along, as you probably recall. And Tom, I think a few weeks ago, talked about in Galatians how Paul discussed his criticism of Peter, who was a Jew, as Paul was. Paul sent to the Gentiles, Peter sent to the Jews, both filled with God's love and grace and Spirit. And yet Peter had fallen prey to this, that when he came among the Jews, he was intimidated into no longer associating with the Gentiles, or even maybe worse yet, he felt compelled to get the Gentiles to be circumcised after the old law. And Paul says in the Galatians, he said, "And when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." It was a serious thing that he was doing, trying to get Gentile believers who had received the Spirit of God, as Peter and Paul had, to act like Jews, to do the Jewish traditions, to do the Jewish things, including in that case, the circumcision, the old covenant circumcision. And so we have two men who had their disagreements and so on, but this morning we have two beautiful portions of Scripture that talk really about the same thing from each of them, and they are in complete and beautiful harmony. And I think that that is a testimony to what it is like to walk by the Spirit and to be taught by the Spirit and to live in the Spirit, and not only to live in that constant flow of God's grace, but to live in the constant breeze, the wind of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is often likened to a wind, a rushing mighty wind or a soft wind, but often it's likened to a wind. And when we're able to live in that wind of the Spirit continually, then our steps are ordered, our life becomes much better structured, not because we have structured it, but because God's Spirit is structuring it. And so that is the beauty of what I'd like to read about this morning. And I'd like to read in 2 Peter. We'll read the first chapter, and I think we'll read through to the 11th verse from the first verse of that chapter. And notice there's a few words that are repeated, but one of them is diligence. This idea of diligence, steady, earnest effort. And he talks about the importance that we would be diligent and have diligence. A few weeks ago, I know we discussed the idea of being watchful and what do we be watchful for. But now he is talking about giving due diligence to these matters of life, living by God's grace in the Spirit and salvation. So let's read then the chapter of 2 Peter in the name of Jesus our Lord. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, or self-control, and to temperance patience, or long-suffering, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, active love, urgent love, love in action. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would also like to read from Galatians 5, and most of you can probably quote it, the fruit of the Spirit. We can talk about that as we go along, because it's remarkable how many of the things that Peter talks about here as being those things that you build on top of faith, like Lincoln Logs or like Jenga blocks, that these things are to be built starting with faith, and they are built in a beautiful and perfect order. And then we also have in Galatians the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And what is that? After this horrific list that Paul gives the Galatians concerning the works of the flesh, which are open and expressed all around us, kind of an ugly list, then we have now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. And I find that remarkable, because somewhere or other, there's always a law against almost everything. Things that we do, things that we don't do, even things that we might think of doing, there's always a law that applies, whether it's God's law, the law of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that applies, or the law of man, the law of the world. And for Paul to say that of the eight things that I have listed as being components of the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law against those. And when you think about each of those words, each of those descriptions, there is no law that can touch you when the fruit of the Spirit and those elements are in your heart. Because the world never gave any of them to you. The world cannot take any of them away. It can't legislate them away. It cannot demand that they be removed or anything else. Behavior can be regulated, belief can't be. And so therefore, it is beautiful to think that you and I possess these things by God's grace. The fruit of the Spirit, all of its components, he listed eight. Do you and I believe there are more than that? Of course, there are more than that. But he listed so many of the most powerful and prominent parts of the fruit of the Spirit. And those live right here in our heart by faith. And there is no law that can take them away. There is no person that can take them away. There is no one that can do away with those things. Sometimes, though, we know that we can feel condemned. If, let's say, let's just picture those eight elements of the fruit of the Spirit? Well, first of all, let's picture them as the elements of an apple. It is a fruit, apple. It is skin, but it's not only skin. It is the pulp, the flesh, but it's not only that. It is the core, but not only, it is the seeds, but not only that. It is the stem, but not only that. And so that's why Paul wants to list so many of the parts of the fruit of the Spirit in order that we might understand it is one fruit, but it's not only skin and it's not only flesh or pulp. It is all of those ingredients brought together into a beautiful fruit. And when you get, or I get, a great apple, what do we think? Everything has worked together. The skin is breakable, but not soft. The flesh, ideally to me, will crack a little bit, nice and crisp and juicy. Now for some reason I can't ever understand, prefer mushy apples. Red Delicious are notorious for that in my mind. I don't really like Red Delicious apples. Give me a good Granny Smith or a Macintosh or a good cracking apple. That's to me what makes a beautiful fruit in an apple, when it contains those things in their proper way. The sweet flavor, but not sickly sweet. A little bit tart, but not mouth-puckering tart. Those things are what makes it a perfect fruit. And every once in a while, you run across the perfect apple, the perfect orange, the perfect something, where everything seems to be in balance. And that's what Paul wants us to understand. That is the fruit of the Spirit. It is perfect. It is perfectly balanced with all of those ingredients. And so therefore, we have that picture, but also if we look at those eight elements and just think about them for a moment as eight kites that have been launched into the sky. They are held aloft, what, by you and your string? Not at all. They're held aloft by the breeze, the wind. That's the power that allows the kite that you fly to float above the ground. And if you think about it, if you've ever tried to fly kites, it's complicated because something is always needing attention with one of them. They need a little bit of turning into the wind, or a little bit of the shortening or lengthening of the string, or whatever it might be. But I love to think of the fruit of the Spirit as those kites that are in the wind. We take no credit for the power that caused that kite to rise into the sky. It is all the wind that has done that. We take no credit for the fruit elements of the Spirit that have been allowed to rise up in our hearts. But yet, we recognize it all came because of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. We take no credit for those. Does that mean we don't pay any attention to them? Sometimes we can make two great errors. One is to say, well, I have the Spirit, so then Galatians 5 tells me I've got all those elements. I'm not really much worried about what they look like in practice or what they look like in my life. I'm not going to do any maintenance on them. I'm not going to check them. I just think, well, they must be there and God knows that. And so I'm just going to go on about my life. That's one error. On the other side, we can make the error that even comes from a misinterpretation of Paul's words in the scripture elsewhere, where he says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the condemnation that can come from that is, I have fulfilled the lust of the flesh in some way. Therefore, I conclude, I do not have the Spirit. That is an easy way for someone to feel condemned completely. When they say, Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I just did. Therefore, I must not be walking in the Spirit. I must not have the Spirit of God. And that is also an error. Because then it causes us to say, I must step so carefully in life that those eight elements, which I didn't give myself, are in perfect balance because of my effort, and I am going to make sure that I am in perfect harmony with all of those, and we're setting up ourselves to fail because we don't understand grace. But the two errors, one being, I know I've got the Spirit, I don't really want to pay much attention to it, it'll take care of itself, or I don't think I have the Spirit at all. Both drive us to the wrong conclusion, the wrong belief, and they certainly don't fill us with joy or peace in our hearts. And so we know that the fruit of the Spirit is, and we picture the eight kites in the air, they do need attention. They absolutely do need attention. Because what have you ever noticed when you're flying kites? Have you ever? If you have, you will know that it is not a set it and forget it type of a thing. But there's always something that needs a little bit of adjustment. And those are through the strings that we have that are holding the kites in the wind. As we look at the elements of the fruit of the Spirit, is it possible that one of them is slumping a little bit? One of them is sinking a little bit? One of them is in danger of crashing to the ground? That is possible. And therefore, it's important to recognize that we must keep all of those elements in the flow of the wind of the Spirit of God. I have sailed some sailing. I understand sailing. I don't like sailing. I prefer something with a great big motor that goes straight from point to point. And sailing always seems like it's a series of endless adjustments to work your way toward an objective. But I have sailed somewhat. And I noticed and I was taught that on the mainsail of many sailboats, there will be on each side of the sail a little 8 or 10 inch long ribbon, a light ribbon, just hanging in the middle of the sail on each side. What is that called? It's called a luffer, a luffer. And what is luffing? Luffing is when the sail of the sailboat is losing the wind and it starts to waver and the power goes out of it and it is slumping and it's not working the way that it should. And the purpose of the luffer ribbons is to give early warning. Sailor, your sail is going to lose its wind. Make adjustments to the angle of the sail now. That's what the luffer ribbon is saying to the sailor. And that sailor then can know that he, she can quickly make adjustments either with rope or what they call grinders or whatever it is to turn that sail to catch the wind because it's luffing. And the boat is slowing, the vessel is slowing because the sail is not catching the wind properly. I like to think of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit in the same way. Sometimes we find that one of those elements is luffing. It's luffing. And the Spirit of God cries out quietly as that ribbon hanging on the side of the sail. Sailor, your sail is luffing. Your sail is not catching the wind properly. Make adjustment. And I know that many times when we think of those eight elements, we can feel quite condemned. We can feel very concerned because we recognize that not all of them are flying straight and true in the air as a kite ought to fly. But some of them are luffing, some of them are sinking. Some of them are in danger of hitting the ground. Which ones? Love. Sometimes, when we lack love, one of the seven churches in Asia that were written to by Jesus Christ in the early chapters of Revelation, they did everything else right. They were so praiseworthy. But he said, you lost your first love. Love. Joy. Is your joy ever diminished so that it feels like it's slumping, feels like it's wavering, feels like it's actually sinking toward the ground? Peace. patience, long-suffering, goodness, faith itself. Does that ever feel like it's wavering, fluttering? Meekness. Do you ever find that meekness, which is a quality that you can't give yourself, I can't give myself, it is a beautiful component of the Spirit of God that allows us to be meek before God, regardless of how bold we may be before the world, how strong. There is a great meekness before God, and there is a recognition of how much higher He is than I am. Meekness and temperance, self-control. Is that sail ever fluttering? Is that kite ever sinking? The self-control, whether it's in anger and temper, whether it's in lust and temptation, whatever it might be. But those elements, it is God's will, it is His desire, and it is the power in His Spirit, the provider of the wind, that all of those kites and more will be flying true, tended to, making sure that they're catching the wind. That does not give you credit for the wind, but you must make sure, and I have to, that those elements are not fluttering. Nobody in the world, I don't think, can juggle eight balls at once. I've seen people that can do a remarkable number, but I've never seen that many. But in order to keep that many balls juggling, there's a lot of attention needed. Oh, a lot of diligence needed. A lot of diligence needed to ensure that none of the balls hits the ground. And that, I think, is what Paul and Peter both are in agreement on, is that these are the fruit of the Spirit. And these are things that we as believers, justified by faith, would pay attention to. And I'm preaching to myself here. I'm preaching to an iPhone, for Pete's sakes. But I see myself in it, because I know that there are times when I think of those elements and I think, ooh, that one is weak. That one is fluttering. That one is sinking. That one needs attention. And oh, I just pray that I might have, and you might have, the ability to say, I desire to have all of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit living, lovely, full, floating, sailing, flying in the wind of the Spirit, with none of them crashing to the ground. If one crashes to the ground, there is grace. There is grace for that. Grace in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But always with this idea that that kite needs to be relaunched. There is none of us that can go through life thinking, well, I've got three or four of the eight elements that Paul talks about, so therefore I think I'm probably okay. I think that's probably good enough. Others will have those other elements and it'll all kind of work together. No. He wants those elements to be in you. He wants those elements to be healthy within you. And therefore, it is a precious thing when God gives us the determination to have diligence in our walk to all of those things. And that we might also be able to know that He so much wants to help us. He so much wants us to be living full in the constant flow of His grace and the constant wind of the Spirit, so that our lives might not only be full of joy within ourselves, but also fruitful in His kingdom. So then Peter talks about this. And he talks about how God has given us by His divine power all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that we need is already here, already given to us by God through His Word and by His Spirit. All things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. That's Jesus Christ. Whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises You might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's where Peter is saying, I want you to be. With all of what God has given, I would like that you would be in this place where you are partakers of this divine nature. Peter had lots of experience with having an undivine nature. He had to be taught many, many things. And even when he was one of the original disciples, which Paul wasn't, Peter had to be told by Jesus, when you are converted, strengthen your brothers. Because he knew that there was much that needed adjusting within the heart of Paul, and he adjusted that. God, by his grace, adjusted Peter's heart so that he could write to us these things that he does. And then he begins the tower that is built, not the Tower of Babel, the bricks of man, but the tower of the beautiful elements of God's work. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, purity. Add on this foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, by which you are justified. Now build on it. Build purity. And then on purity, build knowledge, more knowledge. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we would be always learning more about his grace and his love. And then to knowledge, add self-control. Add self-control to knowledge. Knowledge without self-control is human arrogance. Knowledge without self-control is conceit and egotism. Add to your knowledge. Now put self-control on there. Now on top of self-control or temperance, now add long-suffering, patience. Add that element too. And we need that so much, don't we? Just seems like so often there's things that make us so impatient, a situation that won't resolve itself, or something that's happening in the world that is going sideways that we wish wasn't. But he says, put that building block there too. Make sure that you have patience. And then, and we're kind of a long ways up already from faith, add to patience godliness. Godliness. Being like God. Though he is higher above us than the heavens are above the earth, that there would be a godly way about you, about me. Something that shows the world that we are of a different family, that we are of a different heritage and lineage, we're of a different destination. Godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And there's one of the kites that I sometimes find luffing, fluttering, not catching the wind properly. Brotherly kindness. And finally, to brotherly kindness, charity. Most versions will say love, that's fine. But charity is a deeper word, a much deeper word, because it says on top of the pile of it all, on top of brotherly kindness and all of the other elements that are rock solid, now you can produce charity. You don't produce charity at the very beginning because all of the other elements aren't there. But when all of those layers and elements are in place, now true charity, active love, charity never fails, Paul says. For whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so he says, but charity never fails. And I pray that on that we might find ourselves living, the fruit of the Spirit being strong within us, due diligence being paid to the building blocks that have come up to this point where we literally have the ability to show love where it is not deserved, to show love to those who have wronged us, to show active love toward the world, There's a saying that says, endeavor always to treat the world better than it has treated you. Better than it has treated you. How has the world treated you? How has the world taken care of you? Has it ever caused you trouble? Has it ever caused you despair, anguish? Yes, it has, and it does. And so the prayer in my heart is that I might be able to treat the world better than it has treated me, and better than I suspect in the future it is going to treat me. But charity never fails. Charity never fails. And if these things are in you and abound, if they're abundant in you, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be fruitful. And sometimes when older people are wondering, why am I still here? Christian people, one of the best answers I think for them to hear is, because you are still bearing fruit. You're still bearing fruit. And I pray that I might be bearing fruit. But he said that if these things are in you and abundant, you are not barren. You are not empty. You are not unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fruit is being born, because the fruit of the Spirit is living. The elements of the fruit of the Spirit are healthy. And sometimes it doesn't hurt for us to go through those elements and take a little bit of inventory and say, how are these doing in my heart? How are these doing in my life? Do I have these elements catching the wind, or are they sinking, or have they sunk? God help us all with that. The psalm said that he has cried unto the Lord and he heard. And I think one of the cries unto the Lord in my heart needs to be, oh Lord, help me. Help me that I might have diligence to the elements of your Spirit that are so beautiful and precious and valuable and of equal need. Help me that I might be able to have diligence toward those things. Help me that they might float free in the wind of your Spirit. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. There is a bold statement. It's almost like saying, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But here it is again. If you do these things that he has talked about, you shall never fall. So what is the best way to not fall? It is to do these things. It is to do these things, which are all given by God's help, by God's instruction, by God's word, given to each of us to be able to have those things abounding in us. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wow, to be able to hear that. An entrance will be richly supplied or ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. May you and I join in rejoicing this morning that we have the entrance to the everlasting kingdom before us. We have all that we need for this life and for salvation. We have all that we need to bear up under great trial and turmoil and loss and illness and every other element that this fallen world can produce. We have every element necessary to be able to believe those words that an entrance will be supplied richly to you, to me, into the marvelous kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here first, but also there, but also there. And we are going home. And that is just a beautiful thought that we have, is that we are headed home. We're headed home. We don't know how soon. We need to watch. What is God up to when it comes to the thing that only he knows, and that is, when do we head for home? But let us be watchful. Let us be prayerful. Let us be diligent. Let us be thankful. Let us be joyful. Let us be full of peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.